What is up, you midnight hags? Welcome to No Holds Barred. Before we launch here, I'm going to hitch up with the word of the week. This is where we take a word that is Shakespearean, confusing, troubling, makes you hate Shakespeare because you have no idea what it means when you read it for the first time, break it down, tell you what it means, and then try to sneak it past Kevin during the podcast in whatever way I want to on this episode. This week, the word of the week is holla. Holla, H-O-L-L-A, a verb meaning to halloo, shout, or call out, or an interjection meaning whoa or stop when spoken to a horse. If you're listening to the podcast, give me a hearty holla on Twitter, at Dan Votos. Here we go.
2, 3, 4.
Welcome to No Holds Barred, the Shakespeare podcast. Shakespeare would have listened to. I'm Dan Bollier.
And I'm Kevin Condardo. This week we'll get well breathed, try to wrap our heads around what a conscience is, and send along our notes to Jordan Monsell, whose recently published book, Ministers of Grace, the unauthorized Shakespeare parody of Ghostbusters, tells the story of the original Ghostbusters movie in iambic pentameter and with Shakespeare's vocabulary.
Nice.
But first, let's duel. In the duel, we choose three questions at the intersection of Shakespeare and the present day and take 45-ish seconds to hash out the best answer. Dan won the coin flip before the show and has elected to go first.
Of course.
So here we go.
Yes.
Meg Doughty, who is at Doughty Meg on Twitter, tweeted us to ask, with graduation season upon us, which character would make the best commencement speaker? Daniel.
Sure. So for me, for a commencement speaker, I want someone who has life experience, but is also relatable. I also love that this... the trend for comedians giving commencement speeches. I think comedians have given like profoundly great commencement speeches.
Right.
Jim Carrey's jumps out to me in particular. So I actually would like to see Polonius's commencement speech.
Oh, okay. How much time do you have?
I have plenty of time. You know, he's getting hourly. You just pay him for the speech, and if he wants to keep talking, that's great.
God bless.
But I actually think I want to see the Polonius that I envision when I read the play as opposed to the Polonius that I most often see.
Yeah.
That sense of like the bumbling fool is not who I'm talking about.
Right.
I really mean like the blue collar guy who has worked his proverbials off to get to where he's at and can give some lessons to the kids. Like here, I mean this above all to thine own self be true speech is a commencement speech essentially.
Yeah.
You could flesh that out, share some of your life experiences, and move on from there. So I'll go with Polonius from Hamlet.
Great. I think I'm in kind of the same vein that I want someone with some life experience. And so I'm taking someone that I know I mention him a lot, but it's because I really like him. The King of France from All's Well That Ends Well.
I thought you were going to say Richard III.
No,
like,
not
are you
that,
kidding?
No, not that much. No, the King of France and All's Well That Ends Well basically gives a commencement speech in Act 2, Scene 1 when he's sending the soldiers off to war.
Yeah.
The monologue is inspiring, it's funny, and it does not overstay its welcome, which would be my concern about Polonius.
Ah, sure.
You know, what more can you want in a commencement speech? And also I'm realizing that I think the King of France may be like my secret favorite, like second tier character in the whole canon and is going to turn into my Lear. Like everyone else wants to grow up to play Lear. And I'm like, God, I can't wait to play the King of France.
It's
and
one
all
of these
well.
Days. Watch out for those girls of Italy.
Right. Question number two, Vanessa emailed us at noholdsbarredpodcast@gmail.com with another seasonal question. She asks, given that we are in the middle of the Triple Crown, if Seven Stages was gifted a racehorse, what Shakespearean name would you give it? And now, it's funny, you mentioned my dear old friend Richard III a moment ago, because I actually called him up about this question, and I said, I says to him, I says, Dick, what's a good name for a horse? And he says, a horse? Oh, I said, yeah, a name for a horse, a name. And he says, a name for a horse, a name? A horse, a horse. My kingdom.
Nice.
For a horse. So nice. I would name my horse.
Look at this smug.
My kingdom.
Wow.
That's me dropping the mic.
That sounded like it.
Ow.
Oh, wow. So my kingdom. Okay. Well, that's a lovely name for a horse. However.
Of course.
Okay, there you go. I'm a fan of the one word named horses.
Sure.
Out of the school of Seabiscuit Secretariat.
Seabiscuit's two words.
It's one word.
Is it?
In the name Seabiscuit. It is one
word. It's one word.
Yes, thank you. So I'm going to go with Sycorax.
Good name for a horse.
I think it's a great name for a horse.
Yeah.
I think it's like, it's terrifying, but it's also like, it's a word I want to be screaming while like, splashing a mint julep onto my duds.
And Sycorax comes around the back.
Run, you bitch!
He's a length ahead. Yeah, that's a good one.
You know, so, and the mystic elements of who Sycorax was. I think it's great. So I'm going to go with Sycorax.
Yeah, a good mutter. Question number three. Finally, Doug Scharf, who is at Doug Scharf on Twitter, emailed us with the kind of hard-hitting question we should be devoting our time to on this program. He asks, with which character would you least like to go on a bad mushroom trip?
Sure. Well, Doug. I had an answer for this that I liked for a long time, but then I was like, oh, you know what? It doesn't work, because I think from what I understand of mushrooms,
mm-hmm.
a key to a good mushroom trip is being around people that you trust.
Sure.
So with that in mind,
this is why we've never done mushrooms.
Period. Right. It's like I don't have any of those.
I don't
people.
Have anyone like that.
So I'm gonna go with Cassius from Julius Caesar.
Okay.
I think that would be a bad trip. Like the lean and hungry look.
Yes.
Like if you're like hanging out at a party and all of a sudden you're like, I'm in a room alone tripping balls on mushrooms, and I look across from him and there's Cassius staring at
with
me
with his lean and hungry look.
I'm gonna be like, oh god.
Oh god.
I was gonna go with Sir John Falstaff. But then I was like, well, you know, I think we'd have fun. Like, it would just get, like, that's a different kind of bad trip.
Well, Falstaff would eat your mushrooms and he would give you, like, actual, like, pizza topping mushrooms. Like, it wouldn't get you high. You'd be like, what the hell, John? It'd be like, I'm tripping balls.
Cool. I thought we were going to have a good time tonight.
No, I'll just
take care of you. It's
totally.
Fine. But yeah, I think Cassius could be, like, real scary if you
horrible.
Were like, oh, God. So I'm going to go with Cassius from Julius Caesar.
I feel like the King of France answer, I feel like Shakespeare, there is textual basis for an answer here. I think it's Puck. Puck finds a dude who's having a bad trip and makes his life worse in Midsummer. He's like, oh, you having a bad time? Well, guess what? It's about to get even worse. Puck. So yeah, that guy's a dick.
Right.
Like, give a guy an orange slice and some, like, Gatorade. But no, he turns him into a, like, you know, just points him in the wrong direction.
But what if Puck, when he is on mushrooms, like, mellows out? Because if he, like, I don't know how, clearly, I have no idea how mushrooms work. But if is it the sort of thing where it's like,
we're losing all of our cool kid cred.
I have no idea how mushrooms work. Anyway, is it the sort of thing where it's like,
FBI.
You know, does he just... Maybe he's just normal. Like, maybe it normalizes
that Puck. Balances him out.
Because he's, like, such a freak anyway.
Maybe. Well, there you go. That is how we duel. If you have taken mushrooms or you have a question that you'd like to see featured in a future edition of The Duel, please send any of that information our way. We are at noholdsbarredpodcast@gmail.com. We are on the web at noholdsbarred.com. We are on Patreon at patreon.com/noholdsbarred. We are on Twitter at noholdsbardcast, and we are on Facebook at facebook.com/noholdsbardcast. Daniel.
Yeah.
Shall we do some homework?
Yeah.
Gentles, perchance you wonder at this show, but wonder on till truth makes all things plain.
This is the part of the program where I pull a Shakespearean homework question from the internet, and Dan and I do our best to pull together a coherent answer, no matter how stupid the question or how pressing the deadline. This episode's question comes from Redditor King Odyssey under the heading Characters with / without conscience.
Okay. Is King Odyssey related to King Hippo?
Yes, it's his Greek cousin.
Oh, cool. Great.
They ask, I'm having trouble finding more characters that definitely have or don't have a conscience. His head is in hands. So far, I have characters with a conscience, such as Mackers, Claudius, and Leontes. I also have some characters without a conscience, such as Autolycus and Richard Gloucester. So there you go. You are fit to be tied over there right God now. So
help us all.
Characters with / without conscience. I'm having trouble finding more characters that definitely have or don't have a conscience. So far, I have characters with a conscience, such as Mackers, Claudius, Leontes. I also have without, such as Autolycus and Richard. Three. Daniel.
Jeebus.
Initial thoughts.
I have a lot of initial thoughts. King Odyssey, I think, should be covered in pancakes and then slapped in the face.
Okay.
I don't agree with any of this.
Perhaps he's taken too many punches to the crossed band-aids on his stomach.
Pew, pew, ma, ma. I just don't understand the question. So the implication, I mean, the notion that any character in Shakespeare doesn't have a conscience is completely absurd.
And as you and I, as heels across the board, they all have consciences.
You have to have a conscience.
Of course you do. You're human. Otherwise, you're boring.
Right.
But, you know, the question isn't, I mean, I don't know if we should blame this on King Odyssey or their teacher. The question is not if someone has a conscience or if they don't. It's how they interact with their conscience. Because I'll tell you what.
I see.
Richard III has a conscience.
Yeah, of course.
He has a dream where he wakes up and he's like, oh my God, all the bad things I did. Oh, these are weighing on my conscience.
Right.
But then he decides, that I don't care, and that's the difference. He has a conscience,
right?
It's just not a priority,
right.
So
right,
really
right.
The better question here is coming up with the spectrum of how people deal with their consciences. To like to say Mackers has a conscience, like, what is it? Because he feels bad later and loses?
Yes.
Whereas Richard doesn't feel bad later. Loses.
I like this a lot. I like the spectrum idea.
Yeah.
So if we were to go with the sense of who, if it's a linear spectrum,
right,
with who has the strongest conscience and is governed by it the most on the left side,
acts on it, yeah, sure,
left to right on your screen,
yes,
who has the strongest conscience but is least governed by it on the right side.
I think it's
or who has the most active conscience.
I think the question
is governed by it.
I feel like the question. I think conscience isn't really a variable.
Sure.
So it's how you react to
who has a
who is governed.
We all have conscience, but who is governed the most
and least?
Who is governed the least, and who is right in the middle?
Yeah.
That could be. Those are your three paragraphs.
Yeah.
Right?
There you go. And maybe who's in those? Who are the nominees?
Sure.
For, you know. Yeah. For those three.
I think you have Hamlet dead in the middle. That he has a conscience.
Sure.
And is completely, it's inactive.
Well, his conscience doesn't allow him to kill. Well, how about
his conscience doesn't allow him to kill himself or Claudius.
So then wouldn't you say he is very governed by his conscience?
No, I think he's.
Because when does he ignore his conscience?
He ignores his conscience when he stabs Polonius without.
Right.
Without really, like, seeing who he is killing.
Right. And there you go. That's what you know.
He also ignores his conscience even more palpably when he puts RNG to death.
Yep.
And then Horatio calls him on it, and he says, they are not near my conscience.
Oh, there you go.
I think that's the line. Almost, I think that is what he says.
That's what looks good to me.
So I think that would put
okay.
him middle to...
He does both.
Right?
I think Leontes is actually in the middle, too, because he is not influenced by his conscience at all.
Right.
In a different way. He's a little different than Hamlet, that it doesn't go back and forth.
Yeah.
He is not influenced by his conscience at all until he is completely influenced by his conscience after realizing he screwed up by blowing off the oracle.
Right.
And then for the rest of his life, he's like, whatever anyone else says, I can't make decisions anymore.
Sure.
So we can have Hamlet and Leontes in the middle.
It's funny, in the example, pairing Richard III with Autolycus seems absurd.
Uh-huh.
But Autolycus is a pretty good example of someone who is not governed by a conscience.
I don't know.
He doesn't do anything really redeemable in the play.
But who does he hurt?
He takes people's money. He steals from people.
Hillbillies.
He just is, it's an interesting idea. This guy who's like, I'm looking out for me. I gotta make sure.
Yeah.
I gotta sell these ballads. Mopsa, flopsa, dopsa, propsa, copsa, copsa feel.
You a copsa? You gotta tell
you
me.
Buy
if
and
you are.
Selling? I got two.
I think it's interesting that I've played both of those characters too.
Wheelhouse.
Right? But I'll tell you who's not on that list that I think Richard is least. So we're talking about the least end.
Yeah.
I think Richard is less driven by his conscience than Autolycus. Because Autolycus does do the right thing at the very end.
For money.
I think Richard is less governed by his conscience than Autolycus is.
Yes.
And I think there's someone else that we're ignoring who is the least driven by his conscience in all of Shakespeare's, Aaron the Moor. He's the most two-dimensional in that way.
He's just out for revenge or just out for just
rage,
just chaotic
yeah.
evil
yeah.
to go to that. What is that called?
That place, yeah, there's that distance. I mean, the other people, like, is Lady Mac on this spectrum? Her blowing off her conscience could
break her. Well,
her
conscience drives her to madness.
Right, but she blows it off. I mean, her conscience, like, over vetoes her being blown off.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like her conscience is pretty strong. I think she is, from the very beginning, I think she knows that her conscience is strong and that she's governed by it, which is why she has to beg the spirits, unsex me here.
Yeah.
It's like, I know that...
Okay.
I think, I don't know.
All right, put Richard and Aaron, we can put at that end.
Yeah.
So we have Richard and Aaron, Hamlet and Leontes in the middle, and then who is most governed, who is crippled by their conscience?
How about Viola?
Sure.
That she is just, like, so acutely aware of everything that she's doing, even to the point in I Left No Ring with her, where she's like, this sucks for everybody.
Yeah.
And the fact that she is so torn up by it results in her saying, you know what? Time.
Yeah.
You take care of this. Because
I can't. Yeah, it's out of my realm.
I'm hurting everyone.
Yeah. And then another character who I think is very governed by their conscience and is always compared in the same breath as Viola is Coriolanus.
Yes, of course.
He is not...
Also in my hand at the moment.
He does what he thinks is right.
Sure.
To his detriment. Over and over again.
Well,
it's a fine line between like a moral code and a conscience, but he won't do something that he is against his conscience.
I see. Okay. Yeah. I got you there.
So there you go. There are your three paragraphs on this spectrum of who is governed, of how much someone is governed by their conscience.
Yeah.
You have very governed being Coriolanus and Viola.
Middle ground is Hamlet and Leontes.
And not at all covered is Richard and Aaron.
Works for me.
There you go.
Sweet.
Everyday Shakes. This is the section of the show where we pull a phrase from Shakespeare and show you how to use it in your everyday conversation. This week's phrase is, I am not yet well breathed, as featured in Act 1, Scene 2 of As You Like It. Let's hear the phrase in context. No more, no more!
Yes, I beseech your grace, I am not yet well breathed.
How dost thou, Charles?
He cannot speak, my lord.
Bear him away. What is thy name, young man?
Orlando, my liege, the youngest son of Sir Roland de Boys.
I would thou hadst been son to son man else. The world esteemed thy father honorable, but I did find him still mine enemy. Thou shouldst have better pleased me with this deed had thou descended from another house. But fare thee well. Thou art a gallant youth. Oh, I wouldst thou had told me of another father.
Woo!
And that was I Am Not Yet Well Breathed, as featured in Act 1, Scene 2 of As You Like It. Daniel,
yes.
Give us some context on this.
Certainly. So this is just after the wrestling match. So Charles the Wrestler, in Act 1, Scene 1, we learn that Charles the Wrestler, who is like a monster man, is set to fight against Orlando.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, I'm going to probably break his neck.
In a no-holds-barred match.
In a no-holds-barred match.
Sure.
So it's basically like heavy favorite Charles. They come out in Act 1, Scene 2. The match actually happens. And wouldn't you know it, our scrappy face.
Babyface.
Takes the win.
Yeah.
Goes over. Takes the win. And they're like, oh my God, it's over. It's over. And they call, the Duke calls it off. And Orlando's like, no, please, let's keep going. I haven't even started yet. Like, I'm not even.
Right.
I'm not even out of breath.
Right.
I'm chilling. I got this.
Mm.
Like, and how is the monster man? And they're like, he can't speak.
Yeah.
Like, cool.
Get him out of here.
So, and then it should be the big victory party. And like, what's your name? He's like, Orlando. And the Duke's like, ah, crap. I liked it until you said that.
Yeah.
Oh, well.
Because they have a family GTFO. Feud against his, he hated his dad, right? That's the, because he had beef with Orlando's dad.
Yeah, well, Orlando's father, Sir Roland Du Bois, is probably, he would have been close with Duke Sr.
Right, the exiled Duke. Yeah.
So there's some faction.
Sure.
There's some faction play happening here.
So how could we use I Am Not Well Breathed in our everyday conversation?
Well, it is that sense of like, I haven't even begun. So I think sometimes like marathon runners, when like they finish.
Sure.
At least my experience working in a restaurant.
When
they come into the restaurant and like that tinfoil thing they get when they finish the marathon.
The future poncho that they wear.
Yeah. And the medal. And you're like, wow, how is the marathon? Like, I can do two more today. And I'm like.
So exhausting.
I'm honestly out of breath going up 5 flights of stairs.
Right.
I am well breathed when I go.
So you drink 26 beers there, Poncho. I think you're so tough.
So, you know, that is that sense of like,
yeah.
How was the marathon? Like, I'm not out. Well breathed.
Yeah.
Just chilling.
Yeah. I looked up breathed for a formal definition. It's in the Shakespearean sense, it's exercised, extended, or exerted.
Hmm.
You know, I'm not exerted. I have a lot left in the tank. This could be something. This is perhaps there were no microphones on the mound that night, perhaps this is what Pedro said to Grady Little on Game 7 of the 2003 ALCS.
How could you do this right now?
It's context. This is how, it's everyday shakes. That's the whole point.
That is not everyday. That is the worst day.
But that is the worst day.
I also feel like there's the. If you're at like a China buffet.
Oh God, why would you bring that up?
You do like 2 plates of just
two.
The Jiao Sao.
Like on the first time like through the buffet.
Let me finish the story. So you get through the second plate and then there's someone who you're with who's like, you're like just getting up to like casually get your third plate.
Sure.
And they're like, are you seriously going back for more? And you're like, are you kidding? That's 2 plates. I'm not yet well breathed. Like, I got like 6 plates left.
I got a lot more in the tank.
I got those dope ass dumplings coming
those
up.
Donuts that
the
they used
donuts,
to have at
the
China buffet
the
in
donuts.
Durham. They must have been cocaine on those things. They were so good.
I wouldn't know.
Mushrooms on those things. I'm a bit of a conspiracy theory nut, as Dan knows, and I go crazy on like when there are these stories where we're not getting the whole truth.
Nothing but the truth.
And so help me God. And so, you know, right now when I keep refreshing my various news feeds as the latest political updates are coming through in this week in particular, and someone's like, hey, what time did you get to bed last night? I'm like, like 3 or 4. I'm like, you must be tired of all this news. You must be ready to shut off. It's like, I am not yet well breathed.
Right.
I
could go for more.
I'm refreshing right now as I talk about this.
Right. Buffering. If you happened to identify as like a 2007 Cabernet Sauvignon and someone's like...
It's like as your gender.
Yeah. Yeah. Like I identify as a Cab Sav from 2007. And they're like, why are you doing that? It's like, well, because you got to let that, you got to let me breathe. You got to open that cab up and let it just sit there and be like, hey, I need 45 minutes just to get into my own glory. And someone's like, hey, I have a question for you. Like, no. I'm opening up right now. I'm not yet well breathed.
It's very good.
It's very good.
It's interesting you talk about alcohol. It's like when Dan and I are at the bar and Dan's like falling asleep at the bar and the bartender turns to me and says, I'm cutting off your friend. And Dan snaps
that
up.
That never happened. I think you're misplacing me with a former friend.
He's still a friend.
My point exactly. You know exactly what I'm talking about.
And the bartender says, I'm cutting off your friend. And that friend snaps up out of nowhere after being comatose and says, I am not yet well breathed.
Yeah.
And orders another well whiskey.
Yeah, that's not me. I have too much respect for the hospitality industry to ever fall asleep on a bar.
That's true. I guess I've never seen you fall asleep on a bar.
I never have done that. Unless it was the bar that I was working at and everyone else was gone. And I was like, I don't have enough energy to go home before I come back to open this bar.
In 2 hours.
I will be here. Also, speaking of sleeping, there, you know, sometimes you just and it's, you're like, well, that was great. I mean, I just gave it my all. How was that for you? And then your lady love turns to me and says,
wait,
I am not yet well breathed.
Your lady love turns to me.
I was hoping you would notice that.
Yeah.
Oh. So then my lady love turns to me and says,
"Don't,
I am not yet well breathed.
Don't clean it up."
No, it's, I had it right the first time.
Plugs, corrections, banter, word of the week.
I'm reeling.
I have a bunch of stuff.
Good. Why don't you start us off?
Nicholas Green, who is at NMG on Twitter, tweeted us to let us know that, quote, there are 5 reviews in the Canadian iTunes store for us. Unsure of the exchange rate, but that must put you over your goal of 50.
Did we find those?
We can't because we're not in the Canadian's iTunes store.
As a Canadian, I should go find those.
Well, we are as both of Canadian descent.
Are you willing to make that assertion here on the pod, finally?
I've always proudly been of Canadian descent.
Good God.
Coming from Nova Scotia, I think.
Yeah, exactly.
I forget.
To be clear, listeners, I was berated, bamboozled, and put in the mud by this man for being Canadian.
We are a proud people.
All of our friendship until about 9 months ago when you found out you were Canadian.
I've always been Canadian. Home and native land.
Keep going.
I don't know the rest.
True patriot love in all thy sons command.
Proud Canadian as of last summer. Kevin Condardo. Right now, the exchange rate is at 73 cents on the loony. So we are, with that, we are at a total of 56.65 reviews on iTunes. We'll take it. Hey!
We'll take that one.
Oh, Canada.
Why not? I want to give a shout out to myself.
I'm shocked.
Myself, coming up May 22nd. Got a big day. Big day.
This is a plug.
This is a plug for me.
Hmm.
We got the Shakespeare Society Ambassador Showcase that evening. We're looking at, I'm a proud member of the Shakespeare Society Ambassador Program. We're doing an evening of refugees in Shakespeare. That'll be at the Pearl Theater if you're in New York on Monday, May 22nd.
I'll be there.
You will?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
There's nothing else going on.
I'm not going to be there. I'm going to be at Lincoln Center doing some Hamlet in original pronunciation as part of Lincoln Center's History of the World in 100 Performances, hosted by Adam Gopnik, the premiere of Hamlet. This is
the premiere of Hamlet.
It's an evening about the first performance of Hamlet.
Oh, cool.
That will be with my dear friend and colleague, Stephen Greenblatt, author of Will in the World. He'll be facilitating and on the panel with Adam, my dear friend Claire Warden and I will be doing a scene in original pronunciation, the nunnery scene.
Oh.
Which will be lovely. Get thee to a nunnery. It'll be lovely. I'm really excited.
If we want to show our No Holds Barred support and join you at Lincoln Center, how do we get tickets to that?
That's a great question. So actually, the seating is available on a first-come, first-served basis for that event. But in exciting news for our listeners, it is also going to be streamed on Facebook Live. Through the Lincoln Center Facebook page.
Oh, cool.
So everyone can listen and actually watch. So it'll be a nice chance to check out some Hamlet and OP.
Yeah.
I'm sure Steve's going to have a lot of great things to say about that evening. I'm excited to hang out with Adam, so it's going to be a really good night for all
of us. Very nice. Very exciting. Make sure to get a No Holds Barred plug in there.
I wouldn't miss it for the world.
MJ Brady, who is at Buffalo MJ on Twitter, tweeted us to say, quote, "So the Sondheim is modern Shakespeare question is really cool."
I agree.
"Mind diving into that in a wild card like the Hamilton episode?" Yes, I mind.
Why?
I'm not available.
I'm available. This is a great idea.
You can do a guest episode. I would be so happy to take a week off. God, that would be so amazing. And you could just have somebody else on to do it.
Why are you so morally opposed to a Sondheim episode?
Because I think Sondheim is incredibly overrated.
How dare you?
Like this.
He's the modern Shakespeare.
He is not.
Well, all right. You're right. I'm the modern Shakespeare.
Oh, my God.
But then there's me, then Sondheim.
Who is the most overrated playwright in Shakespeare's time, you think?
Marlowe.
Marlowe had some pretty good stuff.
Yeah, I know, but you have to be rated to be overrated.
Yeah. Like Lilly?
Maybe. Webster?
Yeah, Webster had some good stuff too, though. Well, like, who wrote, like, one play that was interesting and then just copy-pasted it for the rest of his career? And
Shakespeare?
He had at least three different plays. Bob Linfors, who is at Bob Linfors on Twitter, tweeted us with a follow-up on our sports homework question from episode 100. He points out that bowling is referenced by commencement speaker Polonius in Act 2, Scene 1, when he is teaching Rinaldo how to spy.
Oh, yeah.
So we can toss candlepin bowling, I assume.
Sure. Well, of course. Well, I mean, the candles would have been big back then.
So totally.
We could do that.
Big candle town.
Right. I noticed that Bob, his Twitter image is the Orioles logo, which I find fascinating. Which, here's a pop-up
dual question. Pop-up dual, sure.
Which famous Oriole would you most like to see play a Shakespearean character? And which Oriole and which character?
Cal Ripken is Kent in Lear.
Perfect. I would literally cut off a limb to see that production.
Because
Cal Ripken Sr. or Jr.?
Cal Ripken Jr.
Okay.
Because Cal Ripken just keeps showing up to work. Yep. It's like, you're fired. I'll be there tomorrow.
Iron Man.
I'll see you tomorrow. And then when he's like, even at the end when it's like, you need to go die, Lear's like, I'm going to go die. He's like, all right, yeah, I'm definitely going to go die too. I'll see you tomorrow.
But I'm going to be here.
Like, that's that Kent. He's like, he's not going to go off and die.
Right.
He's like, oh, you need to go take care of this. Definitely.
Yeah.
See you at 9.
That might be your best dual answer in 102 episodes.
Well, what's yours? Who's your favorite?
I don't have one. I was just asking the question.
I just provide answers, folks.
Sweet. Here's a question for you. Got more banter?
Yes. Val Harper emailed us to thank us for the custom Shakespeare's birthday card we sent out to her, along with all the rest of our Patreon patrons.
Oh, yes.
And in her email, she wrote, "How did you know April 23rd is my birthday?"
Val Harper, her birthday is Shakespeare's birthday?
Yes.
Oh. I guess we just are that awesome.
No, it was a Shakespeare's, but we are not, because we went to Town Hall and stole your birth certificate.
That's it. That's part of the Patreon. Welcome to 2017. You give us money, we know everything about you.
That's why we put your social security number on the back of the card.
That's right.
No, that's very exciting that Val Harper shares Shakespeare's birthday. That's very cool.
I need to apologize.
Ooh, this ought to be fun. Tape is running. Great.
To myself.
Ah, damn it.
For being so great. At just getting tone, just getting fit.
And missing the last weigh-in.
Well, that's a side fact. It's I put on so much lean muscle.
Uh-huh.
As my Adonis body, my pod bod, comes into full form.
Adonis was the hot one.
That's me.
Adrian Adonis?
No, I am the hottest of the
Adrian
hot.
Adrian Adonis. Google it.
I'm the inside of the flame. I don't believe in Google. But I did. I am running a little late on this essay I owe to Ye Pitts Lancaster. And I just wanted to say, hey, Haley, I have an essay coming for you soon. And I apologize for being late. I had a track meeting. I run track for the high school track team.
What?
I don't know.
You haven't run anything.
I went on a beer run.
You've ran... Bourbon run is about the last run you went on.
That's right.
At Dystopian Chair on Twitter tweeted us
Dystopian Chair?
Yes. At Dystopian Chair on Twitter tweeted us to say, quote, Wendy's is definitely the best fast food chain. There is no disputing this.
I agree.
Stephen Sondheim is overrated. Wendy's is the best fast food chain. We deal in facts on this podcast.
That is outrageous. BK Lounge, but give me that Wendy's chicken. That's all it is. That's all there is to it. Can we talk about fidget fingers? These things?
Do I need to bleep this whole thing? No. Oh, do you have the spinny thing?
Yeah, of course I do. I got it.
Where
do
you get it? Oh, that's a badass. It's like a all black, jet black spinny fidget, whatever.
That's what all the damn kids are using.
I know.
Days.
I see everybody's walking around with them. I want one.
I love it. Here, maybe have you tried? They're really fun. Yeah, you got there. You go.
That's
And then flick that thing. Nope, other way. Not close.
I suck at this. Wow. I don't want this anymore. I'm out.
No, it takes about maybe a minute to get used to it.
Yeah, there's a little gyroscope action.
You feel it. It's like, yeah. It's like feeling science.
So what's the point what's the point of this fad?
Well, I think what it is, I'm so far in on it, it's outrageous. Because it really is, I think it's basically like physical white noise.
Right, it just gives you your hands something. It's an independent action. Is that what it was?
Totally, exactly. Yeah. But it brought me right back to high school, and I'm not sure what your experience in high school was like.
Awesome.
Of course. But the kids in class who were like sick at like pen tricks with their hands?
Oh, yeah, sure.
I feel like this is
the new one of those.
Where it's like, you know, I remember this girl, Emily, who was so... smart
friend of the podcast, Emily, that went to high school with Dan.
That's right. So smart. And her intelligence was also just like bolstered by like she could do like tricks with pens.
Weird.
Like flip. Like and it was just, looking back on it now, it's just straight intimidation.
Oh, sure. When you're sitting in the back and you're like, I'm going to bring this to my debate with Clear Shakespeare and just be like staring at him across the podium like...
Fidget fingering.
Richard III themed fidget.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, 3 points.
There you go.
Just what I'm saying. Richard Where did you get this item?
At the bodega.
No, at the bougie.
Yeah. But it really is like, it's cool to me that this sort of feels, I was thinking about this week. I was like, this feels, in a lot of ways, like a Shakespearean tool that I haven't
like a whirly gig?
Whirly gig of time. But it's also just like that sense of like, sending things out and then seeing what you get with it and then trying to balance it. I'm really into it. I'm very excited. All right. And also, like, I think the fact that the damn kids these days just want something tactile.
Sure.
Like, I dropped this so many times and it looks like it's in mint condition.
It does.
Which is
well,
like,
it has some heft to it. It's heavier than I thought it would be.
Right? I mean, it's basically a tool from a toolbox that they've repurposed. And it's like, oh, I can play with this now.
Right.
And that, I think, in a bizarre way, encapsulates No Holds Barred approach to Shakespeare.
Completely useless, but you just can have it
so
kind of there.
Great.
I'll take it.
You know, we are the fidget fingers of the Shakespearean world.
Rachel, who is at PropsPony on Twitter, tweeted us.
Boo!
Why are we booing her?
She came after the Bruins hard. When they were still a thing.
That was a long time ago. She lives in Vegas. She will do us. She will make it up to us at some point.
All right.
Tweeted us in regards to my request on the live episode that the Decemberists write a song cycle about the unified Antonio theory. She writes, how have the Decemberists not written a song about Pericles? Rape, incest, pirates seems right in their wheelhouse, which is an excellent point. Somebody get Colin Malloy on the phone right now. Liam, I'm looking in your general direction. Nick Nelson, who is at Atonalist on Twitter, tweeted us to point out Prospero's Saturday morning cartoons is literally Mr. Wizard. It's true.
Is Mr. Wizard, wasn't that science?
Yeah, but he was a wizard.
Doing science, though.
Yeah, but they were like, how to play a record with a needle in a styrofoam cup, or like,
it's not Shakespeare. Here's it's not Prospero.
Well, it's magic if you're an idiot.
What?
Science is magic for idiots.
No.
Yeah.
How can you sully magic like that by comparing it to science?
We do hate science here at No Holds Barred. I mean, like, we're pro science. I think science,
like professional science?
No, I think science is important. I just don't want to do it.
Yeah.
I want other nerds, indoor kids of a different vein.
Is that the dorks? Are the dorks doing science?
I forget.
Geeks.
We get called something, and I forget what we decided.
We're I know nerds. We took. We're definitely nerds.
We're nerds.
I think it's the dorks that do science and the geeks handle IT.
All right, that's fair.
Right?
Yeah. And we love all of them.
Equally.
It's just not us.
Some reading that has found its way into my book, into my bag this week.
My bag, baby.
That's my bag, baby. The Mortifications by dear friend of the pod, Derek Palacio.
Yeah.
It's a good read. I'm actually loving it. Check it out. Derek and I we met each other in second grade. Went to school together throughout.
Sure.
You met Derek in college.
I did, at your surprise roast.
Was that the first time you met him?
Yeah.
Oh my God. I have blocked that out of my memory.
Have we talked about that at the podcast?
I don't think so, I want to.
Yeah, we don't have time for it now, but your surprise roast, a seminal moment in our friendship.
The Mortifications, Derek's debut novel, is phenomenal. You can get it on Amazon.
Much better than this conversation warrants.
It is really good. So check that out. And there, I'm probably 60 pages in, and I'm just highlighting Shakespearean references.
Kidding.
Yeah, and I don't know that they're intentional, but they're there.
Uh-huh.
So I'm excited to take it up with Derek when I see him next.
Yeah, and make sure.
Or just send him the novel with all my notes in it and be like, here you go.
Love that. Sign it too before you
have
send
some
it to
thoughts.
Him. Here's your novel. I love that.
But it's a really good book. Please check it out.
Make sure we get mentioned in the special thanks on the second printing, on the paperback printing.
Right. And then the good quarto.
Abigail Poor got back to us about the enclosure riots, which she had asked us about, or I had asked her about.
Yes.
She writes, the enclosure riots were the response to common areas being closed off. Usually a lord would remove his tenants or even family to provide more room for sheep or other animals. This plays into the Orlando Oliver dynamic, as well as the relationship of the two dukes to an extent. So there you go, the enclosure riots.
Oh, thank you.
She then writes, also, there was no question. It was just a research paper about cross-dressing, enclosures, or animal/human relations in the play. So, Abigail, you have this real annoying habit of answering a question and then providing information that is a much more prominent question in your response.
So what is the question?
What was
now
the research paper about cross-dressing enclosures and animal-human relations in As You Like It?
Cross-dressing animals in As You Like It?
Cross-dressing enclosures or animal-human relations. Like
the sheep, corn in the sheep.
I mean,
civet, cat urine, you splash on your arms to make yourself smell good.
Is that what you do?
That's what I do. Explain some things, huh?
Yes. So, yes, Abigail, follow-up questions. What is the research paper? And send it to us, please.
Yeah, please send it over.
We'll send our notes and autograph it and send it back to you.
There you go.
If you like the show and want to kick us a few bucks, you can check out our Patreon at patreon.com/NoHoldsBarred. If you donate $3 a month to help out the show, you'll get on our 12th night card list next January, in addition to any time that we decide to send out other letters to you or any other special benefits that we have in mind. But we had two new Patreon patrons since the last time. Is it?
That was the guess. Oh, right. No. I had the keywords.
Very good. Two new Patreon patrons this week, Jason Crane and Doug Scharf.
Doug and Jason.
Yes.
Jason and Doug doing the dance.
Is this an SNL 1995 reference?
I think it's a Mighty Ducks reference, actually.
Oh, Aberman. Yeah. You're very Aberman.
Yeah, yeah. What?
He's coming.
The cake eater's coming over the desk.
How dare you? I am Adam Banks through and through.
Yeah.
A-lister.
Gets hurt for Supreme, the big game.
Comes back for the big game. Have you seen the movies? Do you need to watch these movies again?
Yeah, probably.
Sounds great. And that's the podcast.
Thanks, Doug and Jason. It means a lot to us. That money helps us start our website at noholdsbarred.com. Put our full library up at right now it's at noholdsbarred.libsyn.com. We'll eventually be on noholdsbarred.com.
Awesome.
Once our lazy webmaster gets his together and gets all that online.
Ted.
If you don't have the means or the interest in supporting us financially, but still want to help us out, you can do so by giving us a rating and review on iTunes.
Yeah.
So we can try and keep a foothold in the top 200 performing arts podcast. Today we were at 154, which I think is a very appropriate spot for us to be.
Why is that?
For the sonnets, 154 sonnets.
Oh, they're going to go for 54 for your number.
It's another happy coincidence.
That is nice. The sonnets.
I mean, we should be at number one, let's be honest, but we're never going to pass like freaking Welcome to Limetown or whatever.
Not with that attitude.
It's
argue your limitations and they will surely be yours, my friend.
Is that Sun Tzu?
It's me.
I'm not going to sit here listening to you quote yourself.
Oh, that was a new one.
We got four new reviews this week. That is awesome. Thanks, gang. And we are at 89 ratings, which is so close to 100.
It's so close.
89 ratings. That's crazy, but it would mean so much to us to break into three figures.
What are the four new reviews?
Well, we'll get to that. But so if you want to write a paragraph for us, that would be amazing. But if you don't want to do that, just go on iTunes and give us a five-star review.
And an emoji.
Like, we're not asking for money.
I want an emoji.
That counts as a review.
I know. I want five stars and an emoji.
All right. Dan would be happy with five stars and emoji. I'd be thrilled.
Yeah.
All right. Mary McD writes, these are our iTunes reviews.
Okay.
Mary McD writes, I love all things Shakespeare, high school English teacher, recovering actress, writerly, and I had been searching for an entertaining and accurate Shakespearean podcast, and finding No Holds Barred was a godsend.
You're welcome.
If you love Shakespeare in performance or scholarship or both, this show is for you. Dan and Kevin are funny, smart, and down-to-earth fellow Gen Ys.
Is that Gen Y?
Generation Y.
Oh, that's cool.
Like after D-Generation X. I teach an all Shakespeare elective for seniors, and we've saw that wince. I teach an all Shakespeare elective for seniors, and we've listened to episodes, and I had my students do their own version of So You're Going to See Shakespeare.
That's cool.
Thanks for all you do. Keep it up. Yeah.
Can we get a copy of that?
Yes. Can we get a copy of that, especially if it's one we haven't done yet, so then we don't have to do it?
That'd be fun. That'd be great.
But I would be very curious to see what your students did So You're Going to See. That'd be fun to see someone else do it.
Right. Also, just a big shout out to all the other lazy teachers out there that don't want to plan a lesson. So like, let me just put this podcast on.
I love it.
We're happy to do that
for
you.
How amped would you... If I had been exposed to this podcast in high school, I would have come to the realization much earlier that any hack could do a podcast.
I would have been busy in the back of the classroom fidget.
I'm going to throw up. DMSDQ writes, thanks to Kevin, Dan, and No Holds Barred, I've reignited my love of Shakespeare and have learned so much about him and his works. The podcast has taught me to be a smarter reader and to dig deeper into the text than before. I've studied the works going on 15 years, and I hadn't learned about Scansion. I've even been picking up secondary texts like Shapiro's Year of Lear. This podcast is a blast. Thanks, guys. You're welcome.
I am... at a loss for words. So is the implication that we are the primary source and that James Shapiro is the secondary source?
When Jim and I talk, that's kind of the conclusion that we've come to.
I'm a big fan of Jim Shapiro. I want to be a friend.
of the podcast.
I'm honored.
James Shapiro.
I'm honored. Jim. Jim.
To be mentioned in the same iTunes review. Jason D. Crane, who you may remember as one of our newest Patreon patrons.
Well, of course. Patrons, how could I forget?
Writes, I love Shakespeare, but it's hard to find Shakespeare podcasts that take the text seriously without taking it too seriously.
Mm.
No Holds Barred is a perfect mix. Two people who clearly respect and love the work, but who are also committed to making a show people want to listen to and to presenting Shakespeare in a way people can understand. I discovered this podcast just last week and have been working my way through the archives. Don't wait. Listen now.
Love that.
So how about Jason finding us last week?
Already on Patreon. Already reviewed.
Already reviewed. All you lazy fucks who have been on this trade since day one, Jason Crane is running laps around you.
Jason Crane. Is it? Should we write Jason Crane a sonnet?
Go for it. You're the one that rips off.
How much time do I have?
You're not throwing away your shot at writing a sonnet right now.
How many more reviews do we have?
One more, and then I can go through the rest. Tony Rimke writes, I love this podcast. I mean, yes, I love Chop Bard and the Bill/Shakespeare podcast. And the Bill/Shakespeare podcast project. But I found No Holds Barred yesterday, and I have to say, it is the best Shakespeare geek out on the internet that I found anyways.
Nerd out. Yeah.
And also, how did these guys find our podcast last week? Like, that's what I want to know. Where are people finding us?
I've been passing out cards in the subway.
I'm busking with our podcast. Word of the week. What did you say?
Oh, I'm the best.
No, when I'm great. Was Lady Love or something like that.
Oh, you're getting closer.
It was, I know when you said it, it was when you said your lady love and my whatever.
Yes.
I don't remember what you said though. What was it?
That's actually incorrect. It was holla.
Holla? Like Teddy Long?
Holla!
Yeah. All right. Holla, Barnardo!
Which is actually, yes, there is that usage, but also it's used to yell at a horse. And I meant to use it on the horse question. and then I forgot. I was like, ah, crap.
The best laid plans.
You know.
Holla, my kingdom.
Perfect. So.
All right. You got anything else?
No.
Wonderful. To keep in touch until next time, you can find us on the web at noholdsbarred.com. You can email us at noholdsbarredpodcast@gmail.com. You can support us on Patreon at patreon.com/noholdsbarred. You can follow us on Twitter at noholdsbarredcast, or you can like us on Facebook at facebook.com/NoHoldsBarredCast. So, on behalf of the Seven Stages Shakespeare Company, oh shoot, we didn't pass along our notes on the Ghostbusters adaptation, but we'll be sure to not cross the streams until we do.
Mm.
In any case, we'll try harder next time. Mm. Till then, my name is Kevin.
I am Dan. Hey, Jason Crane, a sonnet's coming, man.
I do.